You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Somebody say, the Lord is good. He is so good. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It's not something that's really normally my personality or I would do, but I have my second book coming out, and the Lord told me to do this. Because he gave me the book and so told me to get ready for it and promote it. So I've got a book coming out. I'm really not teaching out of it right now, but I'm teaching around it. The subject is no longer condemned. I was preparing to go minister somewhere, and I was preparing to go to Effingham, Illinois to minister, and I was by myself in the car, and the Lord began to deal with me about this subject even stronger than he had been. He said, there's a lot of people condemned in the body of Christ, which is not my will, and so they're looking for ways to relieve it. They're looking for ways to relieve it. And a lot of times, people will take a certain message to an extreme, and people were just hurting, and I had a group of minister friends that were complaining about a certain message. And, you know, sometimes when you're around a bunch of people, you just kind of quip in with them and say, yeah, you know. But the Lord was fussing at me, and he just said, give them the real answer. And I was like, well, if I had the real answer, I'd give it to them. So you're going to have to give it to me. And he said, Romans 8, 1 and 2. And so let's read Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore is now no condemnation. Everybody say none. Yeah. None. There's no condemnation. Are you supposed to be condemned in any way? Yeah. What is condemnation? Well, condemnation is the feeling of feeling worthless. It's like if you put condemned on the outside of a building, that means it's no longer fit or safe for habitation. And a lot of Christians feel that they're not good enough. And so who do they feel they're not good enough? Well, they don't feel like they're good enough to go in front of God. And a lot of times when they don't feel like they're good enough to go in front of God, they often stay out of church. And then also, if you feel condemned before God, you'll also feel condemned before the devil, and he'll run over you. And so how much condemnation should you be walking in? Is any good? Does it keep you humble? Does it make you normal? Because everybody has some. No, you're not supposed to have any. But to those which are in Christ Jesus. How many people got born again in the room? Are then you are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So we're going to kind of minister around. And so that's the premise of the book that's going to be coming out. I hope it's going to be here next Sunday, but probably not. And so I hope it's here Easter, but maybe not. It'll get here when it gets here. I'm just too relaxed about it. Hallelujah. I've been through too much other things to really care about the small stuff anymore. And so it'll get here when it gets here, and then you'll get it, and then you'll give it away, and then lives are going to be changed. And that's just what I believe. I believe it's something that God ordained. But I want to kind of minister around it. And so does anybody know what a law is? How about the law of gravity? Does anybody know the law of gravity? So if we went to the top of this building and we dropped a penny or a quarter off, how many of you know that it's going to fall? Do you have to pray that it falls? Do you have to hope it falls? Do you think it might go up? Is there any chance it'll go up? It'll always go. Why? Because of the law of gravity. And so here the Bible says there's two different laws. So does the law always work? Yes. Do you have to pray that it works? No. It works. So I know that some people don't like the term law in the New Testament, but there's laws. So there's the law of faith. There's the law of reciprocity. Because it's a law, the law of sowing and reaping. It doesn't matter if you believe in that law or not, it works. There's the law of love. There's all kinds of laws in the New Testament. And I know you, well, I've been freed from the law. Well, you've not been freed from the law of gravity, have you? You can do things today to supersede it, But really, when it comes to spiritual laws, I don't know that there's much you can do to go around them. You just have to accept them. But the problem is, if you don't understand that's the law, then you'll try to do it your way, and then you'll be frustrated. And so the Bible says that there's no condemnation to those who understand the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so there's the spirit of, so go back to verse 2. So there's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free. So how do you get away from the law of sin and death? You've got to participate in the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we got to participate in Zoe. Everybody say Zoe. Are you excited about Zoe life? We began to talk about it a little bit last week. So I want to pick up there, and I want to start with John. John's Gospel, chapter number 20. And I just want to teach you from the Word of God today. And I want you to receive this, and I'm excited about it, and I pray that you're excited about it, because this is a law at work. And if you understand this law, if you begin to participate in this law, then you'll get the results of this law. Gravity always works. The law of life in Christ Jesus always works. And so what is that law? What is that law? What is the Zoe? What is the life? And so here in John chapter 20, verse 31, it says this, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Have anybody believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And in them believing, you might have Zoe through his name. In believing, you're going to have life. Now, see, one of the things you have to separate is the Zoe, the life of God, is different than being alive. See, a lot of times when you think life, you think alive. But this spiritual life has nothing to do with being alive. Oh, okay, are you with me? Because before you were born again, you were alive but dead. And you are participating in the law of sin and death. Because the wages of sin is, how many times is it death? Anytime someone practices or lives in sin, it always leads to some kind of death. And so again, it doesn't lead to necessary physical death, but it always leads to a death because it's a spiritual principle. In other words, if someone goes out and commit, they're married, and they go out and sleep with somebody else, that's called adultery. Y'all know that? How many times is it called adultery? All the time. And then all the time it produces something. What does it prove? It produces some kind of death. It's either a temporary cessation, the marriage that you're in has a problem. Now, again, you can get forgiven from that and move on, but I'm just going to give you an example here. It always produces some kind of death. Because the wages of sin, what kind? Did that person who committed adultery drop over and die, even though his wife wanted him to, or her, you know, I mean, you can wish it all you want, but they're not going to fall over dead. Are you with me? But some kind of spiritual law was enforced because the wages of participating in sin is always some kind of death. What kind of death is it? A spiritual death. Doesn't mean you're totally even separated from God. You're not going to heaven if you can get it all fixed. But I'm telling you, it always, it's a law. And you can't change that law. Preachers can't change that law by telling you it's covered. God's already forgiven you of all those sins. Just do whatever you want. But, you know, it's grace. Just do it. No. Because whenever there's a practice of sin, there's a wage. And it's spiritual, and it's death, and it's some form of a dying there. But that person didn't physically die. So my point is, when you think about the life of God, it's not being just alive. It's not just existing on planet. Because there's a lot of living people, there's a lot of alive people who are really dead. And they're not participating. So being alive does not mean you participate in the life of God. So the life of God is different than being alive.
And as a born-again believer, I think we've settled into the thing of a life. And I was thinking about, he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you ever ask or think according to the power that's in you. And that power is dunamis, but that power is also the life of God. The revelation you have of the life of God really determines so much more than you and I know that it does. Jesus said, I've come, John 10:10, that you may have zoe, and that you may have it more abundantly. It doesn't just mean more of aliveness. It doesn't mean just more of aliveness. It doesn't just mean that even more of what this earth has to offer you. It means I've come to give you the God kind and quality of life. In other words, what's God got on him that now Jesus has come to give you? The life that's going on in heaven, and I really want to get this into you, and some of you are staring at me like I already know this, and yes, it's one of those things that I got working in me that I'm really going to try to get to you today, and so I need you to catch this as much as I need you to hear this and understand this. There is a life in God. I'm going to have to go into tongues here in a minute. There is a life in God that is above the existence that you have right now, and you do not have to wait to heaven to get it. It's called eternal life. And it began the moment you said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he was raised from the dead. That life then comes on the inside of you. Whether you know about it or not is up to you and I. But there is a life. It's no longer existing alive, waiting for heaven. It's having heaven come live in you and eternal life working through you and in you. Jesus was the life and the light of men. Jesus didn't heal because he was trying to prove who he was. He was life. And whenever life came in contact, that was something that the law of sin had created. The life and the law of God undid it. That's all it can do. When he approached death, he brought his life. Because Jesus, John's gospel said that he was light, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Brother Hagin said it this way: there's three things that you need to understand about this: that Jesus is light, Jesus is life, and Jesus is love. Those three things are, that's who he is. He's not just he didn't access them. That's who he was, because he was all God. In him was life, Zoe. God is life. Before anything was, he was. And he was life. There's no beginning, no end in him. He's life. And that's why when he redid the earth, and was in dark, the life was the light of men. And when he began to speak life, because he is life. And everywhere Jesus went, he came to bring life. And now that life lives in you. And if we would quit being so carnal and natural and really understand who we are. And when you understand the Zoe lives in you, the life of God. That's why you can say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That life and that light and that love, everywhere you look, he's trying to tell us, everywhere you look, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You are the light of the world. Don't put a bushel over you. Not just you can, you're shining with the life of God. All right, hallelujah. All right, let's look on. I'm going to try to get this to you better. 1 Timothy 6:12, I don't know that I'm doing as good as I should. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. What are we supposed to be? See, we all concentrate on that part, which is good. How many know we're supposed to fight the good fight of faith? But as you do that, what are you supposed to be doing? Laying hold. Jesus said in Revelation, hold fast to that which I've given you until I come. If you've got to hold fast to something, that means somebody's going to try to take it away. Yeah. So you got to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, lay hold on Zoe. Wherefore thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many. So you got to lay hold, you got to hold on to the life of God that's in you. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 again. I want to just get this to you. There's now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How many of y'all want to get free from the law of sin and death? Stay free. Not have it anywhere near you. So, I want to begin to look at this. How do we walk in this? And so one of the first things that I believe in order to walk in the life of God is you've got to go back to, I have a new nature. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, among whom we also had our conversation times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So we could stop there and we could say what? We could say that at one time when we were sinners, we were participating, we were carnal, we were yielding to our flesh, but we were locked in to the law of sin and death. Because you had the wrong nature. And you had the nature, remember Adam fell, and then that nature, that sin nature took over mankind, and that nature can only participate in one law. That sin nature, the sinner, can only participate in one law, the law of sin and death. And so it says we did all that, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So before we were born again, our nature caused us to be locked into the law of sin and death. But I've got good news, and you know this news, but you got a new nature, didn't you? Now, that nature is supposed to make it the Zoe, the God kind and quality of life, now available to you. But which nature are you yielding to? You've got a new nature, but are you still trying to live in your old nature? Are you still trying to live by the flesh? You see, Jesus came to give you Zoe, the God kind and quality of life. But you, in order to walk in Zoe, you've got to change what nature and what laws you're living in. All right? So everybody say, I got a new nature. How do you know that? 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I got a new nature. You got a new nature. And that new nature causes me to be able to participate in the law of life and liberty in Christ Jesus. Now, this life is amazing. All right, let's. So what does the Bible say? Ephesians 4:24 says this, and put on the new nature. Well, what? I thought I had it, but the Bible says you got to put it on. The Bible says you got to put it on. How do you put it on? Well, you put it on like a jacket. But how do you put it on? You put it on with words. You put it on with words. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. What do? I just put my jacket on. In other words, I reminded myself of who I really am. Everybody say, I'm a new creature. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I put on the new, what is that? That's putting on the new nature. That's reminding yourself of who you are. Reminding yourself to live out of your born again spirit. I'm created in God's image, in God's like. Everybody say that. I am created in God's likeness, in God's image, in righteousness, and holiness. How many of you know you're righteous? You're as righteous as you're ever going to get. I'm going to scare some of you. You're as holy as you're ever going to get. No, I know. Oh, be careful, Pastor Mark. See, if you are trying to attain to something before you believe in something, you're doing works. I'm already healed. He made me that way. I just got to receive what he says I am. If you try to be holy and not have a revelation that you are holy, you're going to go back to bondage because you're trying to work under the law. But if you know who you are, then from that place of being, you are righteous. Do you need to walk in your righteousness? Oh, yes. Do you need to learn about your righteousness and understand it and have a revelation of it? Oh, yes. But you can't try and be righteous on your own. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. But his righteousness, which he made you, will cause you to walk a certain way, talk a certain way, and act a certain way. I got to hurry up. So I want to look here in Romans 8. Let's just read some of this. We'll start at verse 4. That the righteousness of law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Is life and peace. Is life and peace. Is life and peace. To be spiritually minded is what? To be carnally minded is what? Yes. There's two laws working. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, he's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can he be. So then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. But you're not, verse 9, you're not in the flesh. He's a very faith God, isn't he? You're not in the flesh. He believes you're getting this. He's very much a faith God. And he said, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that word means make alive, your immortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you'll do what? What? You'll die. Why? Because it's a law. He's talking to believers. If you live after the flesh, you're going to die. Why? Because you're locked into a law. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of your body, you're going to live. What's that? The Zoe kind and God quality of life. For many is led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So I want to just real quick divide this into three things. Looking at all this scripture, talking about not being condemned and the law of life in Christ Jesus. There's two laws at work. And it's unfortunate that a lot of believers don't know this, and so they lock themselves by their actions, by their words, into the law of sin and death, which they were supposed to be delivered from. They were supposed to be delivered from. But if you don't follow on to know the Lord, if you don't know the truth, then you can't be free. If you don't continue in his word, then you can't remain free. If you'll know the truth will do what? Set or make you free. But then you also have to continue in his word so that you can stay free. Because there's something about this flesh that and the enemy that we have that always, and you don't may not have known it until now, but he's trying to lock you into a law. He's trying with your actions and your words to lock you into his law. At one time, you were locked into the law because that the law of sin and death. You were locked in because of your nature. But now you've got an escape. I do have an escape theology. I believe we can escape everything the devil has meant to destroy us. We can escape it. And we can escape it now, and we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. Are y'all ready to be taught something? Because see, so many believers who love Jesus and are going to go to heaven, yet on earth they have such a life of, oh God, where are you? I tell you where he is. He's in you. That's the first problem that a lot of believers don't know. He's in you. And he's given us a way, and we're just going to really quickly look over this. Three things that we've got to do something with to make sure we're no longer participating in the law of death. And the law of death doesn't mean ceasing to exist, where the law of life does not just mean alive. It's the law of the devil, which produces death, sickness, stealing, killing, destroying, confusion, stress, mess after mess, drama. You can be delivered from all the drama and you can get over into the spirit of life, where everything that's going on in heaven should be going on in your life, because it's a law. Everywhere Jesus went, because his life, he undid the law of death. Are you ready for you? Because he'd love for you to grab a hold of this and everywhere you went and everything you said, because you're the light. Didn't he tell you you're the light of the world? Yes. Do you have the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost? Yes. Is the life of God really living on the inside of you? The word says it does. So you may not be Jesus, but you're a son and daughter of the Most High God too. And you have the same Holy Ghost that he had. And you have the same Father that he had. And you've got the same words, because he said it is written. And you've got the same words and even more written than Jesus had written. We're waiting for heaven to come to earth, and yet heaven has already come to earth and it's living on the inside of you. And it's time for us just to shake some stuff up. Amen. Amen. Those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Come on, I say it's mess right now. Let's turn it back right. Let's turn it upside down the right way. Hallelujah. How are we going to do that? By knowing who we are in Christ. So number one, what do we got to do? So this scripture tells us three things. You're going to have to do something with your mind. You're going to have to do something with your body. And you're going to have to let the Spirit of God control you. You're going to have to do something with your mind. You're going to have to do something with your body. You're going to have to let the Spirit of God control you. Now, see, these are not the new things, but these are things that if you want to participate in a law that always works, just like gravity works, you got to do something with your mind. So it's not just to do it, just to do it. If you want the law of life and liberty to work in you, you got to do something with your mind. So number one, 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. Don't have time to teach you on this. I've taught you before. I believe this is positional truth. This is not renewing. Stay with me, because it's like when I say I'm healed, I don't have to have any evidence of it to know that I am healed, because it's a truth. It's a written truth. I believe this is a truth. The truth is I have the mind of Christ. Where? I have it in my heart. In other words, God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Well, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. How many of you know God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts? But he wrote them all down. But he also moved them in. In other words, I've seen baby Christians try to go say something and do something. And on the inside of them, it'd be like, I don't know why, but I know that's wrong. Why? Because the thoughts have changed on the inside. They're no longer dead. They're alive. Somebody lives on the inside there. Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. Okay, now in order to get the mind of Christ to work, now you've got to renew it. You got to renew your mind. Because the mind of Christ won't come out of you unless you begin to renew it. I know that's somewhat different. If someone says to you, I don't believe that, you know, the mind of Christ means you got to renew it. Don't argue. Just renew your mind, because you got to do it anyway. But I believe from a positional truth that you'll begin to believe, I have the mind of Christ. I've been confessing that, I don't know, since for so long, it just became a part of me. I have the mind of Christ. And if you have the mind of Christ, it'll cause you to think different. It'll cause you to talk different. It'll cause you to be different. Come on, say it, I have the mind of Christ. Now you got to do what Romans 12:2 says. You have to renew. You have to go through the metamorphosis process. If be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorpho, by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Really, until you really renew your mind, you're going to be confused of where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, and how you're supposed to do it. Because the Bible says the renewing of the mind also helps you with the leading of the Holy Ghost to keep you in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. See, you can love God with all your heart, but if you don't renew your mind, you'll not be at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. You'll be at the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong things, and you'll be in trouble because you'll be participating with the spirit of death. We have to be in the right place. How do you get in the right place at the right time doing the right thing? You got to keep your mind renewed. How do you renew your mind? Well, you just take the word of God and you begin to meditate. God said to Joshua, if you want to have success, you're going to have to meditate day and night. What does that mean? I'm going to have to take the word of God and wash my mind, because you all know we live in the most technological time there ever is, and we have so much junk coming at us all the time, and you've got to take the word of God and you got to wash. These are not the days where you have an option. You got to take the blood of Jesus and the word of God, and you got to wash. If you don't wash regularly, you're going to be in big trouble. You got to renew your mind. What are we doing? We're looking at three areas that if we want to be not condemned and we want to participate in the law of liberty and life in Christ Jesus, that we've got to do. You got to know that you have the mind of Christ. You got to renew your mind. Amen. Romans 8:5 again. Let's look at that. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, what does it mean, mind? It has to do with your will. It has to do and with your soul. And your mind is part of your soul, and you've got to renew it. Are we all renewing it? So you're getting it renewed today. All right? So the other thing you got to do is you got to do something with your body. Dear Lord, do I wish my body would have got saved. Don't you wish... And we can wish all we want, but wishing's not going to fix this. Your spirit is born again. It has the life of God in it. Your mind, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions has to be restored. It has to be transformed. You got to believe that you have the mind of Christ, and then you've got to, it takes some work. It takes some action on your part to then to begin to transform your mind. And then what you've got to do is you've got to learn to keep your body under. Romans 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a, what kind of sacrifice? First time I ever heard my wife say this, it just made me laugh. She said, the only problem with a living sacrifice is it always tries to get off the altar. You know, don't you wish your bodies would just, don't you wish your body would just love to be disciplined? I just love to keep my body under. I don't know if we confess that enough if it happens. I by the mercy of God, present your bodies of what kind? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So what do you got? You got to do something with your body. Romans 6:13 in the Amplified. Romans 6:13 in the Amplified. Do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members as faculties to sin, as instruments, tools of wickedness, but offer and yield yourself to God, though you have been raised from the dead to perpetual life, and your bodily members and act faculties to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness. In other words, every part of you, you determine how you offer it. Your body, you can either offer it to this world, to sin, which is what you used to do, or now you can offer it to God. In other words, I can offer my hand to do what it used to do. It used to maybe take something that wasn't mine, but now it gives. It lifts its hand. I lift my hand and worship God. Are you understanding? You have a choice. That is part of offering. That is part of learning how to walk in the spirit of life and liberty in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:11. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken. That word quicken is life. He'll give you life. One of the things that I love about God is he doesn't really expect you to do it. The results can't come on your own. You have to do something to get something many times. You have to yield to him. But there's the life of God. You can get so much life on you that it'll even quicken your body. It'll make your body want to obey God. And really, that's one of the things I did at the beginning of my life. I just had a lot of fleshly things to deal with. And I didn't do it on purpose. I just fell in love with Jesus. I was so grateful that he delivered me and changed me. And I was so excited about him. And I think he was excited about me, too. And we just had a, you know, we still do, but we just had a time together. I remember... all the way to work when I was going as an accountant, I'd pray in tongues in the Indianapolis track. I was so happy by the time I got to work. And then when I got off work for a hard day, I prayed all the way home. I ate so fast to get my supper over with that I could spend some time in the Word and pray in tongues some more. And then I'd fall asleep at night praying in tongues. And then I found myself waking up praying in tongues. I just got so in love. I mean, my life was such a mess. And then when he delivered me and he changed me, still do. Just love him and appreciate him so much. Well, what I didn't realize was happening is every time I got in the Spirit, my flesh was being quickened. It was being made alive. I didn't want to sin. I heard Brother Hagin say this. I don't know if every Christian can do this. He said, I'm committing all the murders I ever want to. I heard him one time say, I'm watching all the porn I ever want to. He said, I'm lying as much as I want to. He said, the deal of it is, I don't want to. The want to leaves. How do you make sure that if you got a want to yield to your flesh, then you haven't been spending as much time in the presence of God as you need to? She doesn't have to say it very often, but you know, sometimes when I'm grouchy, my wife will say, you need to go spend some time with Jesus. Why? Well, because when you get with Jesus, your attitude will change. Because he's life, and he's light, and he's love. One of the things I've been thinking about is this, because I'm not going to get totally finished, but I wanted to get here. The Lord been dealing with me about water and what the Spirit of God. He said this. He said, salvation is a well of life, a well that springs up to eternal life. Jesus said, out of your belly, he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, will flow rivers of. There is a throne in heaven that out of it comes the rivers of life. One of the things the enemy has tried to do in church is to get the church to quit talking about the Holy Ghost. So when you quit talking about the Holy Ghost, you quit talking about water. And therefore, you quit talking about life. But we need the life of God in the day that we live in. Salvation is a well that springs up to eternal life. After you get saved, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence speaking in other tongues, because rivers of life come out of you. And you need to go to the throne room regularly, because out of that place comes a river of living water. And the more you participate in this water of life, the Bible says everything it touches comes to life. And I'm not talking about being alive, I'm talking about the life of God. And so everything that is the life of God, health, wholeness, all that salvation is, all this life is now available for you and me. The more you participate in the life of God, the less condemnation you will feel. And it'll remove it. So we're not trying to just lessen it, we're trying to remove it. And so if you'll walk in the Spirit of life and liberty in Christ Jesus, it'll free you from the law of sin and death, and you will not be condemned. It is a major problem in the body of Christ where people feel unworthy, where people don't feel good enough. And if you don't, and you've already, you're walking this revelation, I guarantee you there's people all around you that put a smile on their face, try to put a pep in their step, but they really feel condemned. And you can help them, and you can get them an answer. Even sometimes your presence. What about this? Your presence. The Bible says that you're a fragrance of life. there is, though, a fragrance of death. But the Bible says that you have a fragrance. To those that are alive, it smells alive. But to those that are dead, it reminds them that they're dead and there's life available. Come on, the living power of God is in you and it's on you. And you've got a river of life flowing out of you. And you've got a well of salvation that springs up for you. And if you go regularly to the throne room of grace where there is living water coming out, come on now, we can get so full of the life, the Zoe of God, that it'll begin to change people because it's love, it's light, it's life, and it begins to move and change people's lives forever.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.